Well, good morning. If you would open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord together in prayer. Our Father, we come into your courts this morning with hearts that are full of thanksgiving. How we thank you for your many, many blessings that you've given freely to your people in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you that you gave your own Son to shed his blood so that our sins could be put away and forgiven. How we thank you for his obedience, his perfect obedience that makes us righteous in thy sight. Father, how we thank you. How we thank you for your electing love. How we thank you for your calling, keeping, saving power. And Father, I pray that this morning that you would enable us to lift up and exalt the name of Christ our Savior, and that you would give each of us here a hearing ear and a heart that would believe and lay hold upon our Lord Jesus Christ and be like Jacob of old and say, I will not let you go except you bless me. Father, how we pray that we would be found in thy Son. Father, we pray for those that you brought in the time of trouble and trial, that you would be with them, that you'd comfort their hearts, that you'd heal. Father, that you'd be with them in a mighty and special way. All these things that we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now, the chapter here that we are studying is in Matthew chapter 24, is full of prophecy. It concerns both the destruction of Israel and the second coming of our Lord. And the verses we'll look at this morning have mostly to do with the second coming of Christ. And I have a sobering title. It's Ready for the Lord's Return. Now, you know, you hear that, ready for the Lord's return. And unfortunately, I think because of the prevalence of false religion, we all get an image in our head that the preacher's going to try to scare us to death and scare us into doing something. And that is not my intent at all. And I hope you'll see that as we go through here. How to be ready for the Lord's return. Now, our text begins in verse 36. The Savior says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, there's no way that anybody can know the day, the hour, the month, the date, the year of the Savior's return. The Father's just not going to allow anybody to know that. That's the Father's business, not ours, when Christ will return. But, you know, you and I can't know when the Lord will return, but we do know he will return. And we can be ready when he does come. And I'll tell you how we're ready for the Lord's return. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him to be our salvation. That's being ready for the Lord's return. Now, I told you this last week, and let me remind you this, particularly when we think about when the Savior will return. We need to remember, we study Scripture, we think on spiritual things. We need to be very careful not to get off topic. The topic, the issue, is always Christ. It's always his blood. The issue is always his sacrifice and his righteousness. The issue is always his power and his grace to save his people. Christ is always the issue. And you and I are never the issue. Never. The issue here, what the Savior is talking about, his return, is not when Christ is coming, but who is coming. The issue is trusting Christ now. Now, I want us to come to Christ and come right now. I want us to believe on Christ and believe on him right now. Let's not waste our time looking at signs of the future and trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future, or, you know, worse yet, try to figure out when the Lord's going to return when he told us himself we can't know that. Let's not get off on a tangent here. The way we're ready for the Lord's return is by believing on him. You know, we're told in Scripture to examine ourselves. For what? If you be in the faith. Examine yourself. Do you believe Christ? We're not to examine the events of providence and earthly events and the earthly goings on, trying to look for a sign of Christ's second coming. We're not to examine others, trying to figure out if they're in the faith. You know, somebody asked me, you think so-and-so is saved? Well, that's none of my business. I mean, I don't know. We're not to examine others, whether they believe Christ or not. We're to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. We're to make our calling and election sure. And how can I make my election sure? I can't look in the Lamb's Book of Life and see God's written my name there. How can I know that God's elected me? How can I know that God's called me? One way, faith in Christ. That's why the apostle said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. That's the evidence that God's elected us. Faith in Christ is the evidence that Christ died for us. Faith in Christ is the evidence that God's given us life and called us to Christ. So if I believe on Christ, I'm ready for his return. And I want to give you three things from our text this morning I think will be helpful concerning our Lord's return. Number one, we're ready for the Lord's return by living upon the word of God. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, you know, we looked at this recently on a Wednesday night, the flood of Noah. Before the flood, people were living on the earth like nothing was ever going to change. Everybody but Noah. Everybody but Noah. Noah was preparing an ark for the time when God sent the flood. Now, why was Noah building the ark? He was building an ark. He was building this gigantic ship with no water in sight, no body of water in sight. Why was Noah building that ark? Because he believed the word of God. He believed what God said. God told Noah, Noah, I'm going to send a flood and destroy every living thing on the earth. And Noah believed God. And God said, Noah, you found grace in my sight. Noah, build an ark to the saving of your house. This is how you know you found grace in my sight. I'm providing a refuge for you in the ark. And Noah obeyed. And he got busy building. And he got busy building that ark because he believed God. He believed, for him, it was the spoken word of God. For us, it's the written word of God, but it's the same word. And it took Noah 120 years to build that ark. And in those 120 years, we're told in Scripture that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached righteousness. Now, I'm sure Noah did that with words. I mean, here he is building this big ark, and people ask him, why are you doing that? And he told them. He told them. When he told them, God said he's going to send a flood. Believe God. Get in the ark. He preached, that's preaching righteousness. Preaching righteousness is just this. Tell people to believe God. This is how we're made righteous, by believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and Noah said, now get in him. Rest in him. And here's the other thing I'm sure of. Noah preached righteousness by building that ark. His act of building that ark showed he believed God. It showed he was righteous. His actions declared he believed God, and righteousness comes by faith. Not by works, by faith. So his actions, through his actions, Noah preached righteousness. Now the Savior says his second coming is going to be just like the flood that came in Noah's day. Nobody's going to be expecting. Now Scripture tells us Christ is going to return, but nobody's expecting it. Just like Noah said, God's going to send a flood, and nobody was expecting it. Nobody's expecting it except those who believe God's word. No one is going to be ready for the Savior's return except those who believe God's word and obey it. Now, what is it to obey the word of God? This is the commandment of the word of God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him without any of your works being added to it. That's the commandment of God's word. And whoever believes on Christ has everlasting life. They have it. So if you would be ready for Christ's return, live on the word of God. Live on it. Live reading it. Live studying it. Live so that your life is arranged so that as much as it is humanly possible, you can be here when the word is preached. This is how God speaks to his word, to his people. This is how God gives faith to his people. It's through the preaching of the word. It's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is how God gives faith. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you would be ready for the Lord's return, live searching the Scriptures to find Christ. To find Christ. Don't read the Scriptures trying to figure out how to live now. You already know how to live. Read the scriptures to find Christ. And ask God to show you Christ, to reveal him to you. When you listen to preaching, listen to that preaching to find Christ. Don't listen to hear if the preacher's saying everything just right, or if he's right or he's wrong about this. Listen to preaching to find Christ. This is the all-important thing, that you know him and you believe on him. The only way you're going to know Christ, the only way you're going to believe Christ, is by hearing him preached. That's the way we're ready for the Lord's return. It's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed in this word. All right, number two. If you would be ready for the Lord's return, act on what you know and act on what you believe. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, if you live on the Word of God, you live hearing the Word of God preached, you live praying that the Lord will reveal Christ to you, that he'd apply your word, his word, to your heart, then you're going to believe Christ. And you're going to know he's coming again. It's all through the scripture. He's coming again. Even Job talked about the second coming of Christ. I mean, this is, you know, this all through the scripture. Now, that's knowledge that comes from the Word of God. Christ is coming again. He told his disciples, I'm coming. I'll come for you. The angel said, "This what are you standing here staring up in the clouds for? This one you've seen, he's going to come back again in like manner. He's coming. It's all through the Word of God. This knowledge is just from reading the words on paper. Christ is coming again. Now, wisdom is acting on that knowledge. We know Christ is coming again. Wisdom seeks Christ now. Wisdom begs God for mercy now. Not praying for the rocks and hills to fall on you after Christ returns because you're afraid of judgment. Wisdom seeks salvation for Christ's sake now, based on his work and his person, not my work or my person. And that wisdom that makes you seek Christ now, that makes you beg God for mercy now, that wisdom will guide how you live your life and the things that you do here below. I want to say this right. I have in my notes here, it may not be right. I don't think it is right to say live like the Lord is returning today. If we knew that the Lord was returning today, we wouldn't make any plans for tomorrow, would we? If I knew that the Lord's coming this afternoon, I would make no plans for tomorrow, for later on this week. If you knew that the Lord was returning today, you wouldn't bother with your jobs. You wouldn't bother taking care of your house or cutting the grass. You know, you wouldn't worry if the grass got a little too high, because it doesn't matter. Christ is coming today. You wouldn't do the things that are necessary to provide for your children, would you? You wouldn't, or your future. And that just wouldn't be good if the Lord doesn't return. Now, the Lord's not saying here just, you know, ignore everything in this life. You know, he's not saying don't get married. He's not saying don't have a celebration when somebody gets married. He's not saying don't, you know, enjoy time with your family and have a good meal and stuff. He's not saying that's bad. We certainly should get married. I mean, the Word of God talks about marriage. You know, marriage is good for us. It's good for society that we have homes and families and those kinds of things. So the Lord's not saying getting married's bad and enjoying each other's company is bad. This is what he's saying. Do those things. Absolutely, the things of this life that are given to people to have pleasure and enjoyment, they're there for God's people. God's people ought to enjoy them, you know, more than anybody. Do those things. Take care of your earthly responsibilities. God's given you a family, and take care of them. God's given you a home, take care of it. God's given you a job, take care of it. Enjoy those things when you can enjoy them. Sometimes you're not going to be able to, are you? Enjoy those things while you can. But don't let seeking those earthly pleasures guide and control your life. Use them, but don't let them use and control you. Do all those things. Enjoy what God's given you to enjoy. Take care of the responsibilities that God's given you, all while you look for the Lord's return. Do those things while you just expect the Lord could come at any second, at any moment. And doing that, doing what God's given you to do, enjoying what God's given you to enjoy, doing those things will keep all those earthly things and spiritual things in their proper place. If I live expecting Christ to return at any moment, spiritual things will come first. I'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, won't I? And all these other things then will be added to me. It's just, it puts the priority, you know, my spiritual needs, I'm feeding my spiritual man, and those kind of, that comes first. So when you go to work, do as good a job as you can do. Isn't that what Scripture teaches us? Believers ought to be the best employee on the place. That's just the right thing to do. If the Lord doesn't return, you got a paycheck. You got a paycheck you can use to support your family. You got a paycheck that you can use to give to support the gospel. If the Lord doesn't return, you've gone to work, you've done a good job, why, you've got money to go out and eat, enjoy a meal with your family and friends, have fellowship together. If you got to, like me and Janet were years ago, had two young daughters at home, go to work, get a paycheck, and save up to pay for them two weddings. The Lord says, you know, people are going to get married. They're going to have marriage feasts. You know, if you go to work, you got the money to do those things if the Lord doesn't return. And if the Lord does return, why, you've served Him faithfully to the end. And that's what every believer wants. And that's what the Lord is describing here beginning in verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now here's two, I assume, men working in the field. One of them's a believer. One of them's an unbeliever. They're working in the field to support their family and feed their family. One of them's a believer. He's working his job right up to the end. He's working to provide for his family right up to the end. And the Lord comes and takes him home. There's two women. They're down there grinding grain at the mill. They're doing that to make food for their families. In Mexico, I saw this. The women just coming in droves to there's a central place where they would grind the corn. They'd take that ground corn and make it into tortillas and stuff for their families. I mean, some of them were walking, some were riding bikes, some of them were on the back of a motorcycle, you know, and they got this big old thing of corn. They're coming to grind it to feed their family. That's what these women are doing. They're down there grinding this grain so they got food to feed their families. One of them's a believer, one of them's an unbeliever. They're both taking care of their families, aren't they? But the believer, she's working right up to the end to support her family, to feed her family. And the Lord comes and takes her home. So this is what the Lord's telling us to do. Do what God's given you to do. Do it to the best of your ability. Take it seriously. Do it until the Lord returns. See, enjoy things of this life while you can. And the Lord mentions marriage in particular here. And it's, you know, I think it's not just a random choice he made to talk about marriage. Marriage is given to us as a picture of Christ, the union between Christ and his bride. And the Lord mentions marriage. Now, enjoy that. Enjoy that. You know, few things are as exciting as a young couple getting married and starting out their lives together. It's always exciting, isn't it? And to the unmarried, I tell you, look for the right spouse. Ask God to send you the right spouse, somebody that will worship God together with you, that you can put your shoulder to the grindstone together with, you know, and build a family, build a life together. If you want a nice wedding, plan that and enjoy it. I got a lot to say about that, but I won't say much other than this. I won't say anything about it. Don't go overboard. Don't go overboard. Stay right in the middle. That's what we're talking about, Earl, and everything. So stay right in the middle. But plan. Plan how to have a nice life together. Plan how you're going to build your life together, you know. But this young married couple gets married. Oh, it's so exciting. You got nothing. I mean, you got nothing. Me and Janet, we got married. We had nothing. I mean, it was great. It was just great. You know, I just loved it. But you need stuff. Don't make getting the things of this life be what controls your life. God's going to provide for you. He'll provide for those things. Oh, if ever a young married couple would do this. Seek Christ together. Seek Christ together. Oh, bow. He's the king of the home. Bow before him together. Just a young couple. They're just two kids wet behind the ears, don't know nothing. But now, you know you can sit down together and have a meal and give thanks and pray before you eat. You know, seek Christ together. Come to the services together. Talk about the messages together. Talk about the word together. Seek Christ together. Make that first. God will add all these other things to you. He will. Seek him together. And before the flood came, this is what people were doing. They were just completely taken up with getting things of this life. Same way we do today. People were concerned about gaining fame and fortune just as much as people are today. They were seeking money and silver and gold. They were seeking recognition. They wanted to get them nice new clothes, you know, to show off. The exact same thing people do today. Because listen, nothing has changed because human nature hadn't changed. Human nature hadn't changed one bit. And here they were, just completely taken up with that, had no thought of God, no thought of eternity, no thought of worshiping God, no thought of worshiping and recognizing the Creator, the one that's given them life and health and all these things, you know. And suddenly, the Lord sent a flood and wiped out everything in an instant. Everything they were seeking was gone, and they were too. And the only one who survived was the one who believed God. He was prepared because he believed God. All right, the Lord says his second coming will be the same way as the flood was. You know, one reason I don't think that the Lord's coming right now is everybody's expecting him to, you know. I mean, it just seems like everybody thinks the Lord's coming. And the Lord says it's going to come in a moment when you think not. The Lord's going to come again in the very same way he sent the flood. It's going to be unexpected. But now he's coming. We don't know when, but we do know he's coming. So enjoy the things of this life. Take care of your responsibilities. Take care of them like you're going to work that job till you're 70 years old. But don't let them control you. Don't make the goal of your life seeking to get as much things of this life as you can get. Seek Christ first. Seek his mercy first. Seek his grace first. Seek to be found in Christ first. Because all these other things, no matter how many of them you get, God's going to burn them up in an instant. See, last time he sent a flood to destroy everything. This time it's going to come with fire. He's going to burn it all up. It's all going to be ash soon. It's all going to be ash. So don't seek, I mean, you know, you need a house to live in. Just recognize this. It's going to be ash soon. You need a car to get around and do things. But recognize this. It's going to be ash soon. Seek Christ first. His righteousness will last forever. His mercy, his grace will last forever. Don't set your heart on the things of this life. Because if you do, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because God's going to take them away. Believer, unbeliever alike. He's going to take those things away. If you set your heart on Christ first, you'll never be disappointed. Never. All right, here's the third thing. The Lord tells us, be watchful. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now it's interesting that whenever the Lord talks about his second coming, almost always he says, be watchful. Watchful. Now the Lord is going to come. He's going to come suddenly. And he's going to come and pluck his people from the earth. You know, this, when people have this in their mind, they got it all wrong. When Lord talked about two being in the field and one taken and one left, and two women at the mill, one taken and one left, it's going to be like this person disappeared. You don't know where they're at, you know, but you just go on living your life and like nothing's changed. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. This is talking, when the Lord comes, he's going to suddenly gather his people together from the earth. He's going to suddenly take them to be with him. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats. The goats be cast into outer darkness. The sheep taken to be with Christ. And we'll spend eternity as the Lord finds us when he comes suddenly. If we're righteous, we'll be righteous still. If we're unrighteous, we'll be unrighteous still. Spend eternity that way. So the Lord says, be watchful. Be watchful. Be watchful for the Lord's return, like a night watchman is on the watch. The night watchman is guarding the house. He's making sure nobody breaks in and steals something, you know. Now be watchful. Be on guard that nobody steals your hope. Be watchful that nobody steals your hope by getting your eye off of Christ alone. And keep a watch on yourself. I think this is the main thing about being watchful. Be watchful on yourself. That we don't let our imagination and our lust for things of this life take our trust off Christ alone. We start seeking something else. So live your life doing what the Lord's put to your hand to do today, and do it to the best of your ability. And while you do that, keep one eye on the sky. Because the Lord's returning. He's returning. And if we do that, that keeps everything in perspective. That keeps spiritual matters in perspective. And it keeps earthly matters in perspective. You know, the Lord is going to return. He's going to return and burn up this earth, create new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's going to return. There'll be that great day of judgment. Those things are going to happen. And I don't know when he's going to return. But I'll tell you, just in the time that I've been the pastor here, the Lord's returned for a lot of his people. I couldn't tell you how many funerals I preached. Quite a number. The Lord's returning for his people every day. Every day he's returning for his people. See, the Lord could return and to this earth, and we could be one of those ones that Paul said are left, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed, taken to glory, meet him in the air. It could be the Lord comes for us through the death of this body. When we die, the Lord's come for, when this body dies, the Lord's come for me. The Lord's come for me. And it could, and I tell you what, it's going to be quickly. It's going to be quickly. 35 years ago, you and I got married. Been like that. The next 35 years are going to go faster than that. The Lord's coming quickly. Well, maybe the Lord will be pleased to give us grace to seek him, to know him and believe him, that we might be ready. All right. I hope the Lord will bless that to you.